beautiful day, a little chilly, but a beautiful day. What a great, wonderful blessing it is to be here before our God with one another. And we're just so very thankful for that, and we're thankful for our visitors here this morning. I would want you to know that you are welcome. We want to encourage you because you encourage us. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. We'd love to show you the hope that's in us and the reason that we have that hope. One thing I want to say before I get into the lesson, I want to thank Matt and Christy and all the brethren who opened their homes for the youth at Progressive Dinner. I got to interact with them on one of those at Tom and Rhonda's house, and they were just happy. And they enjoyed that, and I know it was a lot of work put into that, but it was for a great reason, so we want to make sure that you know we appreciate you in doing that, and you know, and it benefited the youth, so thank you for that. You know, the blessings of God flow upon us when we don't forget His will in our lives. You know, and the blessings abound when we remember the Word of God. This morning's lesson is based on a premise from a lesson I heard, I think around 2007, 2008, but it was a sermon that was preached in 1980 by Brother Landon Saunders. And so, you know, I listened to this, let's say 2008, on an old cassette. And if you're here, you don't know what a cassette is, see me later. I'll try to explain it to you. But I remember this lesson even to this very day because it was such an indicting and confronting lesson. One of the most confronting, indicting lessons I'd ever heard. So much so that I think about it to this very day. And we need to remember that the purpose of the Word of God is to convict us, to indict us, to change us, to challenge us. And so when I was convicted by the words I heard in the sermon, it wasn't Brother Landon Saunders, it wasn't his words that were convicting me, it was the Word of God. And so his lesson, that we're going to borrow that at least the two passages, the premises here, and then I want to read a quote from him, was based on two passages. And we're going to ask some questions in this. The first one, Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, and this says, of course, Jesus is 12 years old, the family goes to Jerusalem to worship, then they leave, they're about a day's journey, and they go, where's Jesus, right? And so then they go back, and they find him teaching in the temples. That's what's going on here. And his mother, you know, understandably upset, as all mothers would be, I'm sure. Maybe she thought she had been a little bit mistreated. But in verse 48, she says, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Now, Jesus is going to respond to her and to her questioning in verse 49. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And some translations, you know, might say something similar to, you know, why are you alarmed? Don't you know I must be about my father's business? Second passage, as part of our scripture reading a moment ago, jump over to John chapter 6, if you will. So John 6, verse 28, that question was asked, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answers in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So here's some questions on these two passages here. Do we have a plan to be about the Father's business? And are we working the works of God? two pretty important questions, right? And so with those two questions, if the answer is no, then we need to ask them, why not? You know, are we about the Father's business? Are we working the works of God? If not, why not? Remember our theme for the year, being vessels of honor? If I'm not being a vessel of honor, if I'm not growing in that area of my faith, why not? A little confronting, a little indicting. And so in his sermon, Brother Saunders said concerning those two passages, and this is what I really remember. So he said, quote, "I know that sometimes we wishfully say yes, but I'm not sure." And here's a self-examination in that part. He asked, what do we make of that? Am I busy with the Father's business? Am I working the works of God? If not, why not? What do we make of that? Now, here's what we can't do, right? We can't make an exercise of words. Right? Sometimes we never tire of talking about, you know, how we should have a plan. Yeah, we don't have a plan. Right? We don't have a plan individually and collectively as a body of believers. Right? And the reality is, we do not have a plan to be out there busy with the Father's business, working the works of God. A little confronting, a little indicting. Right? And you know, when I heard this, when I read this quote here, you know, and again, I got to be honest, it stomped on my toes. And the thing about it is, again, it wasn't his words that were confronting me, indicting me. Again, it's the word of God. These are legitimate questions from God concerning all of us, right? And so the hard answer might be is that we are not so inclined to be about the Father's business. You know, and you know, so what we need to do is we need to find a way to live and work out our faith so as to be consistent with the faith that we profess. Right? And so we don't perpetuate an illusion. A little confronting, a little indicting. Right? And sometimes you've got to face the hard realities. You know, we can't say that we are there yet, right? We have much to go. And so when we continue with this lesson here with this premise, what I want to do here to kind of get us going is, you know, let's remove excuses. Can we do that? Can we remove some excuses? You know, think about it for just a moment here. You know, here in the Fairview area, let's just think about this for a moment. And I know Fairview's been growing. You know, it's probably safe to say within a, you know, 3 square miles, 3 miles radius, there's probably at least 10,000 people, probably more than that, but at least 10,000 people. You know, and on average, Sunday lately, what we usually have on average, you know, 120 believing adults. So can we say that we are there yet? You know, we have to ask, are we there yet? Are we even close? So, you know, we there yet in the sense that Jesus is there, right? In a sense, we even understand what our business is to be, right? So that question for us this morning, right? You know, why are we not there yet? And so one thing right off the bat here, I wanted to throw up this passage. I've been thinking about it a lot. John talking to the church at Ephesus. The one thing, right, that we need to make sure before we go into any more of this and consider this, we need to make sure we have not left our first love. Right? And some people, I've seen it before, it's, you know, they ain't come to church for 30 or 40 years, but they probably lost their love of Jesus, their first love, decades before. But they'll still come and fill up a pew 3 times a week, right? So that's the one thing we need to make sure. We haven't left our first love. And if you remember, this is the lesson we looked at a handful of months ago. The answer to that in verse 5, right? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So let's make sure we never forget what it is that we're to be about. Number one, first, top of the list, Jesus. And that should be at the very core of everything, of who we are. And next, you remember this lesson not long ago. We talked about the gospel. We're talking about, you know, what we're to be about. In 1 Corinthians 15, right? And we're reminded the gospel is the good news. It's the glad tidings. It's a story of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? Our the very center of everything, right? This is where it begins. And listen, Christians are the only people in the entire world who can have a sense of mission, right? And we consider what we see here in our Bible. And so the question still stands, you know, if we're not about the Father's business, then what are we about? Right? And we're not going to have a sense of mission. We're not going to have a sense of purpose. So we've got to get the first things first in all of this. And so if we're not about the Father's business, we need to ask some logical questions here. Starting off with, here's three. Is God today, so if we're not about the Father's business, is God today somehow not as powerful as he used to be? Right? Is somehow, since we're not about the Father's business, we're not working the works of God, we're not doing what we should because somehow God is not as powerful as he used to be. And let me tell you, friends and brethren, our God is just as powerful today, December 14th, 2025, as he was when he said in Genesis 1, let there be light. And when he parted the Red Sea, and when he, through his Holy Spirit, rose Jesus from the grave. He's just as powerful today as he ever was. So we need to remove that excuse. Is it maybe the second excuse that we might be tempted to use, why we're not about the Father's business or working the works of God, is somehow our culture, our society has become so decadent that the name of Jesus no longer attracts people. Listen, Rome, I believe, historically was worse. And Corinth, back in the first century, now, they weren't killing babies for population control or convenience, I'll give you that. But all in those other areas, I will tell you, it was just as dark of a time. Right? And it was in that culture, in that dark setting in human history, where the Word of God was an explosive message and it spread like wildfire. So we need to remove that excuse. Could it be somehow that our message has lost its attractiveness? You know, somehow lost its meaning, right? Is that an excuse? Has it lost its power, its meaning, its truthfulness? Remember, Paul says here in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, nobody has the message that we have. I don't believe there's any other religious emphasis in the entire world that comes out of a more balanced and wholesome message than what we have. And so it's not the power of God, it's not society, it's not the message that we have. So why have we not been busy with the works of God? Why have we not been busy with the Father's business? A little confronting, a little indicting. Listen, knowing that the power of God remains, knowing that we can overcome any societal problems, knowing that the message is still attractive, knowing a sense of victory should be ours. Right? We've been freed from sin and death, have we not? And so why are we not busy with the Father's business. You know, and how quickly we say, well, we're the people of the Lord. Right? Which means that you know, nothing less than the integrity of our Lord is at stake. Right? And everything that we do, everything that we say. Right? And so, you know, what's gone wrong? You know, what's being left undone, rather? Might be a better way to phrase that. Right? Could it be that simply we're resting on previous victories won? You know, and I hope and I pray that we don't say, we don't think, well, we've got a nice building. Someone paid the light bill. Preacher got paid. We're good. Right? Listen, that would be beneath the dignity of God's people. After Jesus was lost from his parents, when he was found by them, right, he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? So what is the Father's business? Has the Father's business changed since then to this very day? Right? Has the Father's business been altered? Has the Father's business been redefined somehow? Right? Is the Father's business no longer the business of the church? Is the Father's business no longer the business of our families? And is it possible that what has been lost has been a sense of the Father's business? A sense of mission that we have forgotten. What is our mission? What is our purpose? Well, to find out, we need to remember that, you know, Christ came to this earth. He left heaven. Right? He went to the cross. He died in our law place. He won a great victory to open up a way for us to the Father. Right? Mark 16, 15 and 16, you know it well, I'm sure. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the good news. That's the story of his death, burial, and resurrection, right? Go tell that to all of creation. And he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe shall be condemned. So Jesus gathered all of his disciples, and he says, this is the news that you go and proclaim. Right? That's the Father's business. You know, this is the news. Human beings will no longer have to be considered thrown on the trash heap of history, right? Human beings, we're not like worn-out tires that just cast aside for no purpose or use. Right? Tell the news that death is no longer a mocker of those who belong to Jesus. That's the story. That's the good news. Go tell the story. Right? Tell the news that those who have spent their entire lives in bondage have been set free. Go tell the news. Listen, that's the Father's business. Right? And also, Jesus says, basically, now, you're going to go forward as a group of people, right? That's not going forward with their own power, but it's a group of people that are being powered by the risen Lord. So go tell the news, right? And this is the news, right? And, you know, we're not going forward with some new man-made theories, right? We're not going forward with somehow a man-made mandate, an idea, right, about human potential or a bunch of nonsense like that. You know, right? This is a mandate from the King of Kings. Right? That's the Father's business. Right? So go tell the news. Right? That's the King's business. He says, go tell that story. The Father's business is a King's business, and that's what we are to be about. So now, is that the business of the church? Is that your business? The hard question is, if not, why not? Right? Are we as individual believers and as a body of believers, right, making sure that whatever is left undone, that it's not the Father's business? Right? It is the Father's business reflected in our messages as teachers, deacons, elders from the pulpit? It is the Father's business reflected in our homes? You know, with your children, with your spouse? Was the Father's business reflected in your home this morning? And the question keeps coming back, if not, why not? It's a little confronting, it's a little indicting, but we know it's good for us to be confronted, right? To be urged to make the changes that we need to change, right? So is your family business the Father's business? Oh, how about this? When 5 o'clock rolls around this afternoon, will you be about your Father's business? What about on Wednesday when the church gathers to study the Bible? Will the church business, the Father's business, be your business? Right, hard questions, a little confronting, a little indicting. Matthew, the 7th chapter here for just a moment. As we're thinking about, are we about the Father's business, or are we just busy? You know, are we doing the Father's business, working the works of God, or are we just busy? Right, and here in Matthew 7, we read about a group of people that went to the judgment of God, having been very busy, saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not been busy in your name?" Basically, "Lord, Lord, you know how busy we've been in your name, busy doing all of these wonderful works." Right, you know, we say, congregation say, preachers say, right, we're doing the works of God, we're doing mighty things. But is the Father's business getting done? Right? Is our business the Father's business? Now, you know, God tells us, Isaiah 55, verse 11, that his word will not return to him void. And the word was given to convict us, to indict us at times, to challenge us and to change us. Right, and if you're looking for a preacher who's going to make you feel good about you, to make you feel all warm and fuzzy about yourself, that's not me. I love you enough to tell you what you need to hear, to convict you through the Word of God, to change you, because I want to go to heaven with you. I want you to be there with me. So is this a little confronting, a little indicting? Absolutely. Right, but I'm preaching to myself first. And so take this next part with as much love as I can possibly attempt to gather from God's word, right? And if this doesn't describe you, let it be a cautionary tale. You know, some people say, "Well, I don't need the church." Then listen, honestly, you're not about the Father's business. And there's some that come to church all the time and say, "Well, that's all that I can do." Listen, you're not about the Father's business. And we're missing out on something. A little confronting, a little indicting. You know, and here's the thing, and please get this. If we don't know what the Father's business is, then our religion has become a luxury and not a necessity. And it's a very, very sad day when that happens. You know, and our when it comes to that, you know, if we don't know what the Father's business is, our prayer life will become sterile and void. Our worship will be empty. Our faith will be withered and depressed. Right? And we're going to cry out to the leaders of the church, to the preacher. We're going to cry out, you know, "Feed me, feed me, feed me," when what is being asked is impossible. You cannot feed that which has lost its life. And you will lose your spiritual life if you are not busy with the Father's business. If you're not working the works of God. We're going to mumble through songs. Our mind's going to wander when, you know, we're in prayer. We're taking the Lord's Supper. We're going to be thinking about, "I hope the preacher doesn't preach too long because I want to beat the crowd to the restaurant." And sometimes we're just asking the impossible. There's no way to feed, to nurture, to encourage those who are not busy with the Father's business. And we've lost our purpose, our mission. Matthew 6. real quick here. You see, without a sense of mission, you know, many of the teachings of Jesus, they just don't make sense to us sometimes. Right? For years, here's an example. For years, we've been trying to figure out, well, what exactly did Jesus mean when he said, turn the other cheek, and if someone takes your coat, give him your cloak also, Matthew 6 and verse 39. And he goes, agree with your adversary quickly. What's he talking about? Right? We wonder, what does he mean? Listen, if you're on a mission, it becomes clear. You know, your mission is more important than a slap on the cheek, right? And what that is, that's symbolic for an insult, by the way. Someone insults you, right? Your mission's more important than that, right? I'm busy. I'm about my Father's business. Don't slow me down with this nonsense. Here, quickly, slap the other one. Insult me again. You know, I've got a mission to be on. I've got business to attend to. Your mission's more important than that, than slowing down and arguing about a piece of clothing, or agree with your adversary quickly, right? Because he's your mission. Right? Cheek slap, nothing. Your eyes are so focused on the mission, right? Don't slow me down with that insignificant thing. Right? I'm on a mission. Right? And instead of stopping and saying, how dare you, or who do you think you are, I'm just going to dispense with the whole matter, slap this other cheek, or insult me again. Right? I don't have time with this nonsense. I got to be busy. Right? And someone takes your coat, your cloak, the quickest way to dispense with the whole matter, give him your cloak also. Right? You have business to attend to. Keep reading. Right? And your enemies, of course, you're going to bless them because they are your business. Verse 44, and of course we would never extract a tooth for a tooth or an eye for an eye, because the very ones that you would do that to, they're the primary focus of your mission. You're not going to get a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, someone that you want to teach about Christ. See, it just makes more sense now when I know what my business is to be. It's just amazing how many teachings of Jesus, right? They just fall into place when we only know what our mission is. Right? So are we a people like that? You know, we need to be moving about the Father's business. And I don't want to sound overly negative. Trust me, that's not my purpose. Listen, I see so many wonderful things. Brethren here so giving, and I know lots of times we don't see the giving of the other brethren, but I get to see it. There's so many wonderful things going on, so many encouraging things. So don't take this as a negative lesson, right? This is meant to convict all of us, myself included. You know, what can I do to be about the Father's business? You know, what more can I do to be working the works of God and refocusing on the mission that God has given me? And make that my business, my primary business. We got a great business to be about, don't we? Because the Father has invested his business into us. Let's begin to wind down here in just a moment. But I want us to be reminded of this passage here in 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, Christians are the only people in the world who can have a sense of mission. Right? Because Christians are the only people with the problem of death solved. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Right? Our death problem, it's solved. Right? And we don't have to stumble through life not knowing what to do because we know. Right? We don't have to eat, drink, and be merry in the short span of human years. Right? That's for those who know not Christ. Right? They better live it up. They only got a short time. Right? And it's all about eat, drink, and be merry. But that's not us. We don't have a time issue anymore. Right? Now we have time to be about the Father's business because he has given us that time. By way of conclusion here this morning, I want to finish here by asking a couple more questions. Right, here's our application. As a blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, as a vessel of honor, are your eyes always moving toward that mission, that Christ-given mission? And see, if you're struggling in your faith in whatever area, right, we all have struggles. Sometimes it's almost defeating us. Sometimes it does defeat us. I'm telling you, if you get that focus of the Father's mission, a lot of that stuff will take care of itself. Right, because you're wanting to move closer to the Father, and in that you're going to start defeating sin in your life, and that'll help you overcome that. And do you realize, because we are a people that are special and have been set aside for a very unique, special purpose, right, because of our union with Jesus Christ, that we are a people who have been set free. We've been set free from the bondage of sin and tyranny, the tyranny of materialism. We've been set free from fleshly control, Romans 6, disturbed emotions, right? We found that peace in Christ Jesus. We've been set free from living lives which do not end in death and destruction. That's wonderful news. Problems are going to come. That's okay. We just don't let them distract us, to destroy our faith, right? Problems are going to come, right? But if we're busy with the Father's business, listen, we're going to make it to the end because we are victorious in Christ. You know, Jesus asked that question there in John 6. And in this, I want you to think about, before we offer the Lord's invitation, so where do we start? Well, we start with submitting to the leadership of the King. It's about being salt. It's about being light. It's about the living water. It's about the bread of life. It's about submitting to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Right. So, what must we do to work the works of God? Here in John 6, remember Jesus, his answer: this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Right? In other words, you trust Him. You obey Him. Now, I don't know every detail of what my day tomorrow will entail, but I know it has to be the Father's business. And I want you to consider here, you know, whatever. Let's say whatever your profession is. You know, what do you do for a living? Listen, that's not your primary mission. That's not your primary business, or your hobby, or something you're really great at, or you're retired and you got a beautiful home to take care of. Listen, that is not your primary business. Your primary business is to be about the Father's business. So whatever happens tomorrow, whatever that may entail, you know, I can't tell you every detail of it, but I do know this. My primary focus needs to be the Father's business. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, listen, that's your first business you need to take care of. You know, nothing even comes close to that. Right? If you haven't put on Christ in baptism with a responsive faith, right, I'm going to love God, I'm going to bear that cross, I'm not going to give up, repent of my sins, confess Him based on a belief. If you haven't done that, that's your primary business right now. And in a moment when we sing a song of invitation, you know, consider that. And here's what's going to happen. As we're singing that, you're going to have a little bit of self-talk going on in your head. Right? And if you've been convicted that you need to do that, or even those who have obeyed the gospel and you've separated yourself, you're going to have a conversation going on in your head also. And it's going to be, you know, I either need to obey the gospel or be restored or something like that. And Satan's going to tell you, you know, you don't need to do that. That's not that important. A more convenient day. Listen, don't listen to him. Right? Make Christ your primary business, whether it's obey the gospel or be reconciled, or if you just need encouragement. Right? Let's take care of that this morning. Let us show you the love of God, the love of this church family. Please let someone know as we stand, as we sing.